kids, God is good all the time. All the time.
God is good.
That's right.
Okay, I'm just going to invite the ushers to come forward. We'll pray a blessing upon our tithes and offerings. So, Father, we thank you for the good gifts that you have given us, mainly in your Son. And we see all other things, all created things, whether through finances or food or our homes, we see them as gifts from you, Father. And so with you as our great treasure, we humbly offer these gifts at your feet this morning to say that you are our great desire. You are our hope and our trust and our portion. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, you can feel as the service progresses, Jesus becomes increasingly tangible. You come and you start to turn your heart towards him and you feel his presence come. And then now we'll have the word. And it will, Jesus becomes more and more fleshed out and tangible to us as we move towards the table this morning, where you will taste, you will feel, you will touch, you will take Jesus into yourself. And so I'd just like to invite Pastor Nico to come and speak this morning. He's one of my favorites. Can you give it up for Nico?
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Kids, that was awesome, wasn't it? That last song, dancing. I love seeing our children being involved. And we're really excited, children, kids, that you're here today. I believe it's no coincidence that you're here today with us. And we are so excited to have you. That's why David just got us all involved. And my heart is that you can listen to the preach today and you're like, oh man, there's something for me as well. So no matter what age you are, my prayer and my heart will be that God will reach your heart, amen? And that he will speak to your heart. And that will be something where you can take with you as you go into this Christmas season. Christmas isn't over yet, amen? Pastor Ryan said that already. And actually in the early church, there were 12 days. They celebrated 12 days of Christmas. Kids, listen to this. Some traditions, they actually did one present each day on the 12 days of Christmas. Can you believe that? Maybe you should go to your parents and like, hey, can we change that again? You know, have a present each day for 12 days. And it represents the best and most amazing presence of all, which is Christ coming to the world and just being part of us. So this time is a time of just great celebration. It's, reflecting on the incarnation, reflecting on Christ, the Word of God, becoming flesh and dwelling among us, being with us. Like a little baby, like we hear crying right now. That was how it probably, you know, Jesus was crying when he was a baby. Do you believe that? You better believe that. If you don't, like he even pooped his diaper. It's hard to believe, but that's when Jesus was a little baby. That's what happened too. He became one of us. You know, this whole season is meant to be a celebration of Christ, the God, the Son of God, being willing to become man, being willing to become one of us. And it consummates in the Feast of Epiphany. Who knows what Epiphany stands for? Children, Epiphany. Who knows what we're celebrating on Epiphany? Anyone? Yeah? When the shepherds, and an Epiphany, it was one other one, yes? The shepherds came. Who else came to Jesus? Yes? The wise man, that's right. On January 6th, we celebrate the wise man coming. And you know what it stands for? It stands for that it wasn't just the Israelites who Jesus came for. Jesus came for us as the Gentiles. The Magi weren't Israelites. There were actually Gentiles like you and me. or like most of us, maybe some of us here have some Jewish background then, but he came to us as well. I love that. And that's what we celebrate in this season, is Jesus coming and being with us. Now, if you've been with us for a while, we actually, since September, we've been on a journey together, a journey out of the Old Testament. And we watched Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan and looked, what is an example for us as River of Life and the body of Christ, and how can we apply that in our own lives? You know, to follow and make sure when Jesus goes, we go. When he stops, we stop. To consecrate our lives. And so I was kind of looking, how do we get Christmas and Joshua and the Promised Land, all that together? And I started praying and I looked and I was like, oh, this fits perfect today. And then I looked and I was like, you know what? It actually fits even more perfect that the children are with us today. You know why? Children, today we need you. You're part of us. Okay, Connor? I'm glad that you're here with us today. Benjamin? So glad you're here with us. And we need you. And I believe that God has something special for each and every one of us. And my prayer is that our hearts will get opened and that we receive, no matter if we're old or young, rich, poor, if you're here for the first time or you've been here all your life, my heart and my prayer is that God will reveal himself in new ways today. So why don't you just find somebody next to you and just put your hand on him. Maybe ask first. But put your hand on them and I just want to pray. Children, just grab the parents' hand or just go to somebody that you just put your hand on someone. And I want to pray that Holy Spirit will reveal himself to us today. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for the season of Christmas. May today, as we look at your word, may you reveal yourself in a greater way to us. May you open our hearts. And Holy Spirit, may you do what you do best. You came to reveal Jesus to us. So Holy Spirit, have your way among us today. I declare over each and every one of us today that your kingdom come. And that your will be done and accomplished in this morning and in our lives as it is in heaven. So we pray for the perspective of heaven as we look at your word, as we listen, and as you draw us closer to yourself, Jesus. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me together to Joshua. If you don't have your Bible, we have it on the screen too, but it's good to actually have it and read it in your Bible. We want to go to Joshua 8, 30 to 35, and last week, Pastor Ryan looked at, you know, the Israelites conquering Ai, and today, it was two victories which the Israelites had. They went to Jericho, and what happened at Jericho, kids? What did they do? They marched around it. And then what happened? It fell down. All the walls fell down. That's right. And then they had the next conquering. They conquered Ai. And all of a sudden, Joshua stops. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just all gather together. I mean, they were just on a victory streak. And then Joshua's like, stop. We have to do something else. Here's where we pick it up. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it, they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. There in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua wrote on stones a copy of the law of Moses. All the Israelites, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, facing the Levitical priests who carried it. Both the foreigners living among them and the native born were there. Half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, has formally commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. Afterwards, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Parents, have you ever had to go to a meeting, really important meeting, and you couldn't find a babysitter, so all of a sudden you were in the predicament you had to take the kids with you, and you were like, how will I do this? Because they have to be quiet, and have you ever experienced that? Or how many of us today were thinking of staying at home because we don't have kids' church? Anyone? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. Why is that? You know, like, I mean, it is actually, on the one hand, we're so excited to be together as families, and yet on the other hand, sometimes, the way I want to say that, we have amazing kids who have great potential and energy. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Sometimes you say, like, they're rascals, but you know what? They have great potential and energy. My parents could tell you a story of it. My sister and I, she was a year younger than me, we got into all kinds of troubles. Actually, my parents got fired out of multiple content insurances because of us. And if you don't know what a content insurance is, it's an insurance which your parents make so that when you break stuff of other people, the insurers will pay for it. So there was this one holiday, we were in Italy, and we were in this beautiful white bungalow, and they had those red clay shingles, and they were on the, like, just some of them were broken down on the floor, and my sister and I thought, like, this is perfect. Great white wall, red shingle, let's paint some pictures. And a few days later, or a day later, I think that wasn't even a day later, we came from the beach, and my dad says, what is that stuff on the wall? I was like, that was us. And my dad wasn't as happy as we were. We thought, like, you know, we painted this beautiful picture for our parents, so they had to paint the wall, you know. Another time we were in Switzerland, up in the mountains on a farm, and they had those milk carts, and my sister and I, we loved to just try to get it as close to the edge as possible. Until one time, I got it really close, but I couldn't hold it anymore. So all of a sudden, this huge milk jar, it was huge, like bounces down into the valley, and we saw the tires flying off, and, you know, all of it, it looked great. The only problem was it was not fixable anymore. Or the one time when my sister, you know, threw me through a glass door. I mean, she wanted to get out of the house, and I didn't want to let her, and, you know, we were just there, and so she pulled me away, and I pushed back, and she let go, and I went right through. Some of the marks I still carry today. So here's Joshua calling all of Israel to come together to renew the covenant of the Lord. And I could see some of the wives saying to their husbands, I think I'm staying home today because, you know, they don't have childcare for those things. And you're always worshiping. And you know who is taking care of the kids. You know, it's me who always have to watch for the kids. Can you imagine that? You know, those conversations at home in the tents. And the husband says, no, Joshua said all of us. He called all of us. Something like Moses wanted them all, us all to come. So all of them came. And all of them worshiped like we did, you know, praising God, and it was fun. Until Joshua started writing the whole law on the altar or on stone tables. Now, kids, just imagine that. Here is Bishop Todd, right? And he starts, you're in worship, and all of a sudden he starts writing, and you're like, what is he doing? Well, he's writing the law. Now, it wasn't just an hour. When you look in the Old Testament, it's 23 chapters in Deuteronomy, which actually talk about the law and all of the things. So 23 chapters without a laptop or an iPod where you can dictate it in, you know, or any of that stuff. Like here he's writing Joshua. And they're like, what is he doing? Well, he's writing the law. The whole law? Yep. How long does he want us to be here? Well, probably a few days. But just imagine that. I mean, at least they had food. There was the burnt offering, and then there was the fellowship offering. So in the beginning, it probably was fun because they're all eating. But after a while, even the longest meal, kind of the kids are full, right? And the oldest, you know, the older people, they're like, okay, I'm going home now for a nap. Nope. Joshua is still writing. You know, the busy people. Well, I still have to sharpen some irons for the next sword fight, you know, for the next fight. Nope. Joshua is still writing. And here they are, just watching Joshua write the whole law. And then he started reading it out, the blessings. And he blessed them all. You know, Joshua wanted to make sure that the Israelites remembered that it is the presence of God that leads them and goes before them. It wasn't their accomplishments. It wasn't their works and striving. They said, no, no, no. It's God. That's why we want to put him right there. And they probably for hours or potentially days watched Joshua write out the law. You know, I believe the Israelites never forgot that day. Remember that day when Joshua wrote the law? All the law? It's like, oh yeah. You know what my son did that day? I hardly could control him. Or somebody else saying like, oh, you know, I remember that day because I got a heat stroke. It's just waiting there in the sun, you know. But it also was something where they probably never forgot. And the children sometimes came and said, Dad, why did Joshua wrote the whole law? What was that day all about? And the dad or the mom started telling again and saying, guys, we want God to be the center of our worship. He's the one we want to look and remember for the rest of our lives. You know, as in those days, I believe it's important and necessary today to include all of us, to include our children. A day like today has great potential. You know why? Not because you're like, I can't remember any of the message today. No, no, because our children are right there in our midst, receiving the things which God is putting on our hearts. You know, it's important that our children know and understand when we talk about we want to follow the ark, that they will know, oh, I know what that means. When daddy says, I want to follow the ark, that means we want to look where Jesus is going. And we want to be part of that. You know, the gospel, which is such a treasure in our lives, should be for them as much of a good news and a transformational power than for us. God has called us as River of Life, as a whole congregation, to move forward and to reflect Jesus. Amen? That includes all of our generations. The old one, the young ones, the children. You know, we need to make room for that. In Matthew, Jesus said something. Remember, children, you know what Jesus said about you? Jesus said, I love spending time with the children. When the disciples tried to shush them away, he said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For to those, such as those belongs the kingdom of God. Remember, it doesn't say to them belongs the kingdom of God, because they still have to learn how to receive it. They have to understand the ways of the kingdom as much as you and I do. But to such as those, you know what our responsibilities as parents, grandparents, uncles, brothers and sisters? To teach our children the ways of the kingdom. And they will lead us sometimes. I believe that with all of my heart. When God called us to come to Lethbridge, my wife and I heard really clear to come here. We both had a dream in one night. But my prayer and heart was, Jesus, show and reveal it to my children as well. I want this to be a journey for us as a family. And I remember praying over weeks, and God revealed himself to them. Our children heard to move to Lethbridge as we just came together as a family. And you know what the exciting piece about that was? When Levi was in catechism class here, and they looked at the heroes of faith in the Bible, at Abraham, and it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed God when he called him out of his land to move to another one. And Levi looked at me, and he said, Dad, this is exactly like me. And I said to him, what do you mean? And he started writing, and it hit my heart. He said, by faith, Levi obeyed God when he called him from Kelowna to move to Lethbridge. It wasn't just our journey. It was the journey of our children. You know, sometimes when it got hard, our children came around and they said, like, you know, this is good to be here in Lethbridge. God called us here. Having the children as part of the renewal was necessary and important because they were the next generation who led. They needed to see and know their place and understand that they deeply belong as a part of that. Our children need to know that they matter and they deeply belong in our midst. Amen? And not just you as parents have a responsibility. We as a congregation, when we see children and we see them dancing and worshiping Jesus, God has given me a responsibility to speak into that potential. A few weeks ago, we had a family with us, and we kind of did worship at home. And I tell you, if you want to have your children be part of that, you have to embrace the mess. Because it is messy sometimes. When we worship together at home, there's drums, there's a guitar, there's screaming, there's dancing, there's everything. And you kind of want to stop sometimes because, you know, as you tell the story, they're bouncing. They don't sit on the couch. Have you ever had that? And you got so frustrated that you left your devotion? Here's encouragement. Don't. Our children need, even though they're bouncing all over. I remember that time we had those friends over, and here we are, and it's crazy. And all of a sudden, their five-year-old son started to sing, Light of the world, you came down into darkness. And the presence of God filled that living room. And I knew, here is an upcoming worship leader who loves Jesus. And my role, not as a dad, but as an uncle, or as somebody who sees that, is to affirm it, to call that forth. A few weeks later, we went to their house. You know what I did? I took the sound system we have to their house, and I set it up, and we did worship together, and he led us. It was just a small little thing. His name is Benjamin. You saw him up dancing here this morning. I believe he's one of those young and upcoming worship leaders, and I want to support that with all of my heart, not because I'm his dad, but because he's part of our congregation. There's many of our children here who have calls of God on their life. And what they need to see is that we're crazy in love with Jesus. And they need to see that. What does that mean and look like for us here? You know, the renewal of the covenant, all of those things. I want to go with you to Jeremiah. You know, God knew that the Israelites will break the covenant. They will fall short of it. They will disobey. And in Jeremiah, when he was alive, they were in exile because they disobeyed. They didn't stay part of the covenant. And so here they were, and Jeremiah hears from God because God always has a plan. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, God always has a plan. Always. So here, Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 33. Even though Joshua renewed the covenant and then the people of God fell short of the covenant, Here's Jeremiah, and he's speaking out. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declared the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. Children, what does the Bible say where Jesus lives? Who? Say it again? Yeah, but he lived in Jerusalem. But when Jesus, you know, then rose up to heaven, where does he live? There's two places, yes? Really loud. In heaven, yes. That's one place where, you know, he ascended into heaven. But there's another place where Jesus wants to live. Where is that? In our hearts. That's right. Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, I love that when Jesus came as the incarnated Word of God, the Bible says that he fulfilled the whole law. With his birth, his death and resurrection, he completed it. That means that the law is fulfilled in Jesus. So what does that mean when he lives in our hearts? Exactly what the prophet here says. That Jesus is written as the full complete law in our hearts. Isn't that exciting? We don't have to watch Bishop Todd write the whole law on the table here. Through Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, and he said, like, it's written in your hearts. That means he was talking about Christ, the incarnated Word of God, in us. The renewal of the covenant is as relevant for us today as it was for the Israelites. We can't live without God and need him in our daily life. It's the essence of the gospel. Boys and girls, kids, adults, parents, grandparents, part of the gospel means I can't do this without Jesus. I need him every day in my life. That's the gospel. That's why we want to create room as a whole congregation to worship God and encounter him. That's why it's so absolute critical for us that you children are part of us. That's why we want to celebrate communion today, the Eucharist. We want to take Christ into us, renewing the covenant and are willing to let him be seen in and through us. You know, our children need to know how much we love Jesus. They need to see how eager you are to come to the table. You know, the other day, Rafi, my four-year-old, he came to me and said, Daddy, I love you, but I love Jesus more. Now, I love that. Why? Because I want them to see that we, as parents, have a high, exalted view of Christ. That we love Jesus with all of our hearts, and that our children will see that, and they will just get affected with that love. You know, even if our children are not fully participating that morning in the Eucharist, because part of the covenant is, the start of the covenant is the baptism, entering into baptism, we want everyone to come to the table. And the ones who aren't baptized, you know, we want to bless you and anoint you. You know why? Because what it is all about is that Jesus will be revealed in us. As we anoint people, we say, Holy Spirit, come. And the Holy Spirit's function and job is to reveal Jesus to us. We know when you're new here, first time, we want you to see that Jesus is the most important thing for us here. Here at River of Life, we want to have eyes for Jesus. Amen? Eyes for Jesus. You know why that's so good and important? Some people, they focus on how is the body doing. Well, if you have eyes for Jesus, you will serve the body of Christ well. Amen? Just look at your, you know, you who are married, just imagine, oh, that's okay. Hey, Gary, she can come. You want to come? She knows that I love Jesus. Why? Because we worship together. And she loves being part of that process. Always has been. You know, husbands, when you have your wives and you look at your wives and you only will take care of her body, how do you think they would feel after a while? Never look at their head, just their body. I mean, some of you guys are like, I'm okay with that. But that's not what it's meant to be, right? As we focus our attention and our eyes on Jesus, you know what will happen? We'll serve the body of Christ well. River of Life, as we keep our attention on Jesus, you know what will happen? You and I will serve the body of Christ well. Here of this place, but beyond that place. You know, how do we do that? And what, I just want to give you three little things, and I said some of them already. How do we include our families? How do we include all of us? First, I already said embrace the mess. Be okay that sometimes it is messy. Don't worry that it needs to be all neat and perfect. Our Christmas Eve service, there was screaming and, like, you know, from some of the kids. But boy, was I glad that our children were here with us. Because I came home and Levi asked questions. Milena is there. You know, Rafi, he loves to be in our worship time. Sometimes he's missing kids' church in the beginning because he wants to be here in worship. And he loves to get anointed. Children, we want to bless each and every one today here as we come to the table. You know, as we come to the table today, let it be a place of encounter for us as a whole congregation. A place where we renew our covenant through Christ. That through Christ, He put His law into our hearts. We want everybody to be part of it. Like I said before, if you're not baptized, we want you to come and be part of it. We want to bless you and anoint you. Why? Because our greatest heart and excitement is that you get a revelation of who Jesus is. That you will fall in love with Jesus in a way that you say, like, something is different. That you can say, I love Jesus because He loved me. This is who I am and this is who I'll be. That's my identity. And that's what I will be for the rest of my life. No matter, who cares what people say? You know, as River of Life, as a congregation this morning, we want to come to the table. We want to come and take part of Jesus, the incarnated Word of the Father, dwelling in our midst, being revealed through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to just posture your hearts. And by faith, take a hold of what Jesus has for you today. As Bishop Todd comes, and as he will lead us in communion.
Thank you, Nico. We approach the beginning of this new year. To think of our covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the importance of renewing it regularly. So let's take a moment to prepare our hearts before we come to His table. Maybe you'd bow your head in a word of prayer and a few truths that we might consider. that the word Jesus is the English way of saying the Old Testament name Joshua. It's Yeshua. He has the same name because He is our Joshua. He led us into a covenant relationship with us, Him. And He regularly causes us to renew it. He leads us into the renewal of that relationship because He knows full well that on His side, He never drifts. He never wavers in His covenant to us. But He knows us well. And He knows what we are made of. And He knows our tendency to drift. So He's always wooing our hearts back. Bringing us back to fidelity to the covenant. So how might you do that this morning? How might you remind yourself that at Christian baptism, that is the official or the formal beginning of our covenant with Him, that there we promise, we vow to lay down our lives. We offer them to Jesus. We make a promise to share in His death and to share in His resurrection. But the Lord's table is where we renew that promise regularly. Hence the words of Jesus, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." We renew the covenant. We say the decision we made at baptism, we're stronger in today. More strongly do we believe in the death of Jesus. More strongly do we believe in His resurrection. More strongly do we adore Him because of His crucifixion and praise Him because of His resurrection. Our resolve is stronger than the day we are baptized, that we would gladly lay down our lives for Jesus. That everything that we have belongs to Him. And so, in these few moments, offer yourself afresh to Jesus. I give you my body. I give you my mind that I might think holy thoughts. I give you my imagination that I might dream your dreams. I give you my mouth that I might speak your word. I give you my heart that I might adore you as you deserve. I give you my energy. Lord, that you cleanse me of any double-mindedness. That I might have single-minded devotion to you. Show us if there's any area where we've drifted in our commitment to you and our love for you. Any way in which I have departed from the covenant. Covenant, we'd find that our hearts would be always ablaze with love for Him. Many of the young people here today, you were baptized. Here's a day to say, Jesus, the commitment I made on that day, I make again today. Many of you with younger children, you have brought them and dedicated them to the Lord. Then bring them this morning, not for the Eucharist, but bring them for blessing. To say, I offered my children to you. And I offer them again today. just give him a moment for him to speak to your heart. What would he say to you? What part of you is he trying to woo back to himself? Love song would he sing over your heart? He's not trying to guilt you into commitment, but to love you into covenant. Father, by the power of your Spirit, whisper into our hearts and minds. Let us hear your voice. Work in us so that our love for you would be renewed. That it be stronger and purer, more resolute than it has ever been. That our children would see in us not only people that love you, but people that are growing in their love for you. General confession together, and it's the things he's speaking to you now, you raise to him. We confess to him, confident that if we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just. Give us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that we might perfectly love him and worthily magnify his holy name. So together we pray the prayer of general confession. From our hearts, merciful Father, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive us where the cares of this world have become our cares, where we have succumbed to the love of things, where we have used our minds, bodies, and words in impure ways. Forgive us where we have given way to discouragement and despair, self-pity, false comforts, harmful addictions, and selfishness. Lord, forgive us where we have neglected your two great commands, where we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may again delight in your will and walk in your ways by the power of your Spirit and to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,